Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You be seated. Today in the worldwide Charismatic Episcopal Church in 30-some countries, we celebrate the Feast of the Lord, the Giver of Life. That is our feast day in this church that goes right back to the very founding of this denomination, when we embrace the sanctity of human life, that all life is sacred, and that we lament the practice of abortion, the practice of euthanasia, human trafficking, anything that devalues human life, but certainly that which takes human life. Before we get started this morning, I've got a number of scriptures that I want to share with you about the sanctity of human life. And why does the church stand so vehemently against the practice of abortion in particular? And we'll look at some of those scriptures, but I want to highlight something that perhaps you already know and perhaps you need to be reminded of. Every time we gather at this church, on the top shelf of this columbarium, we burn this candle. And there's a plaque right next to it. Perhaps you've not seen it if you don't work on the altar. You're welcome to come up here anytime. And it says, all life is sacred. And we are reminded every time we gather with the light burning here, this vigil, to remind ourselves that all life is sacred and to pray for all of those lives lost in that horrible practice. So as we reflect on scriptures this morning, if you don't necessarily turn to the scriptures themselves, I invite you to pray for all of those children that have been lost. So I'm going to take the clicker here for a moment. I've got some scripture to share with you. This is, of course, the emblem of CEC for Life, the Charismatic Episcopal Church for Life. And their line, their motto, their philosophy is that all life is sacred. So why does the church stand against this practice? And why can't we say, well, it's just the individual choice of that mother to have a child or not? We say that all life is sacred because that's exactly what Jesus tells us. And we look around at all of the different individuals here and see how precious life is and how each one of us is gifted in different ways. And God made us different. When we embrace that all life is sacred, we're talking about Psalm 139. The page numbers are for the pew Bibles there. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God formed us in the womb and knew us. And we believe Scripture to be true, to be the Word of God. And this is what Psalm 139 says. But we continue on. Jeremiah in chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. God knew us before we were ever being formed. And then this is one that we've preached on very recently. When Mary finds out that she's pregnant with Jesus, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant with John the Baptist. And Luke tells us in that story, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. One child in the womb recognizing another child in the womb. And this is what is spoken of about John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even from his mother's womb, he receives the Holy Spirit when he's in the womb. And then in the words of Jesus himself, he says that he has come to bring life, and that we might have it abundantly. That's what our faith is about. Our faith is about life. It's about the blessing of God. It's about the created order of Jesus that brings us life. And why does the church stand so vehemently against abortion? Is because it takes life. A beating heart. A child that can feel pain. Well, I want to, as the song says, accentuate the positive and not go into all of the negative things, because the positive is that Jesus brings life. And so we as the church can't simply stand against something, but we stand for life. And we stand not just to end the practice of abortion, but to bring people to care and nurture for children, to provide for their needs, to give expectant mothers hope and an alternative, perhaps, through adoption, through provision. It's not just about ending the practice of abortion, but it's about embracing the practice of life and caring for individuals and realizing that all life is sacred. So how do we proceed from here? I think that's oftentimes the question we ask. You know, there's a lot of activism in the world regarding this. I've been looking at the newspapers and not been very successful in finding stories about the March for Life, which happened on the 17th and 18th this last January. You hear there's stories all over the place about the Women's March that was after that. But the March for Life is the pro-life world coming together from all different faiths, from different denominations, people from all over the world to stand for life. Wasn't covered a whole lot in our newspapers. You want to see coverage, you can go to the church's website and different denominations' websites. There you'll find it. But thousands and thousands of people gather to call for an end to this practice because it takes a human life. But how do we proceed? We talk often about how one of the strongest voices we have in this country is the ability to go into a voting booth and cast a vote. And that is something all of us of voting age can do. But we know from the history of this country that most people vote based on the economy. The vast majority of elections are based on economy and not on issues like this. Many people will simply, I will vote pro-life every single time. I will always vote for the babies. I don't care what the economy is doing. There are those of us out there. But so many people will vote based on economy. The largest, perhaps the largest denomination in the world, the Roman Catholic Church, had said that it is the sleeping giant, that if the Roman Catholic Church voted according to the teachings of its church, it would be a very different world today. But sadly, most vote based on their pocketbook. I understand that. We have to provide for our families. But we are called first and foremost to be people of abundant life in Jesus. So how do we proceed? You can go to marches. You can vote. You can be active in many different ways. You can be a foster parent. You can adopt babies. I just saw seven people cringe. So God will call you to work in one way or another. This was a great theme. This is an aside, not in my sticky notes, but Deacon Ralph, Nanette, myself, and Beth, we went to the convocation in Las Vegas, and the theme was strengthening the family and strengthening, you know, our call to realize all life is sacred. And the four of us looked at each other and realized that none of us were prepared to have a baby at this point. God didn't call us to that. Well, God may not be calling, maybe He is calling that to you, but God may not be calling you to adopt or be a foster parent, but God is calling you to something. I believe the universal thing to which God is calling us is worship. Because I tell you what, we might be able to make a difference in this country if we all get out and vote according to our pro-life beliefs. But that may not make the difference in Africa or South America or Asia. There are places where people don't have the privilege of doing that. But what we can all do as Christians, as the international communion of this church, is to worship. And I mean worship, what we're doing today, coming before God and praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living God. Everything else we do stems from worship. That's why we sang that song today. We're coming back to the heart of worship, which is about praising the living God. Everything starts with worship. Everything. Your service, love, friendship, Bible study, volunteering, prayer, it all starts with worship. People can do those things without worship. Lots of people do Bible studies, for example, and do not worship God. They know all about the Bible, but that doesn't change who they are. It's worship that changes us. It's coming before God and praising Him for who He is and what He has done for us and the very life that He has given us. Everything we do stems from worship. And when we truly worship, we can do all of those other things and we can do them better and we can be blessed by them. Worship places God first in our lives. Worship places God first in our lives. And when we have worship first in our life, it's then that we can truly come to know that all life is sacred. And that's what worship is about. It's about praising the living God who gives us life. The very reason you're here, the very reason you're here is because God gave it to you. And so when we look at what's going on in the millions and millions of children who have been lost, who never had the opportunity, we say that it just doesn't make any sense. I quoted Mr. Spock on Wednesday, and I guess I'll quote him again today. A society that kills its children doesn't make any sense. He said, it is illogical for a society to kill its own children. It truly is. This is a battle we're fighting all over the world, not just in this country. CEC for Life has a tremendous presence in Ireland. Ireland just passed its first laws legalizing abortion. So they went out into the streets and they actually interviewed people and they asked them, do you know what you've done? And they relayed to them exactly, you know, what that bill entailed, what that law was that they had just passed. And when people really realized what was in it, many of them regretted what they had done and were shocked. And one person, you know, said that they were ashamed to be Irish. It's happening in Ireland. It happened in Spain. It happens in Nigeria. All over the world. And that's why we stand so strongly and vehemently against this practice, is because we believe that all life is sacred. Aren't you glad that your mother was pro-life? And here we are. God knew you from when you... What good news is that? And how frightening is that? That God knows exactly who you are from before you were formed in the womb. It's the prayer we say at the beginning of our liturgy, isn't it? We say to God, from whom no secrets are hid, nothing hidden from God. But it is in that knowledge that we rejoice, because God knows exactly who you are. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you need. God knows what you don't have. God knows what you should have. God will give you what you're supposed to have. We rejoice in that. And that is again why we come to worship the living and true God. And that's why we're here today. There's nothing more important you're going to do today than what you're doing right now. Nothing more important. And if anybody's listening online that did something else instead of coming to church today, guess what? What you're doing is not as important as what we're doing here today. Ever. Worshiping God is first and foremost and primary in our lives. That's who we're called to be, and everything else stems from that. And that's why we're here. So we need to get excited about worship, don't we? We need to get a little bit more excited to come. How many of you got up and said, I get to go to church today? All right, I see one hand. I see one hand. Oh. Remember the gospel lesson we read where Jesus says he wants us to come to him like little children? Because what is inherent about those little children? No inhibitions. They're going to run right up there. They're going to run to Jesus. There have been some neat things over the years in the news where, you know, like the Queen of England is doing her thing. Or the one with the Pope was really neat. He was up there doing a thing in a church. And this little kid, probably 2 years old, just ran right up to him and wanted to sit on his lap. What did he do? Put the kid right on his lap. That's how we're supposed to be. Do not any of you come to sit on my lap, please. But that's who we're supposed to be in worship. We're supposed to be so excited to get to church and worship God that we can't stand it, that we're up so early and ready to go. And then when we get to, you know, the best part of our worship, we have fantastic music, wonderful singing, homilies that are outstanding. Wow. But then, when we get to receiving the body and blood of Jesus, who promises to be with us every moment of every day to the close of the age, and we can come to this altar of God and receive the very presence of Christ in bread and wine and Eucharist, wow. That's exciting. We should be so excited that we can't get up there fast enough. We should be elbowing people out of the way because I'm going to go get communion. Again, that's something I want you to do. But that's who we're called to be in worship. That's who we're called to be as Christians. God wants us to come to him like little children, without inhibition, without reservation, without wondering what we're going to look like in front of other people. It's just throw all of that aside because we are worshiping God. Today we celebrate life and pray that all will come to know the precious, precious gift that all life is sacred. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.